The Sportscast, May 9th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. Also, visit our website, thesportscast.net, and our Twitter, thesportscast1, also Instagram. And you can visit the App Store, download the Sportscast for iOS. Late-breaking news this morning. It was coming. Nikola Jokic from the Nuggets won the NBA MVP 2 years in a row. Well run for him. Also, we'll be talking about the Sixers and Heat series, Mavs and Suns, all tied at two. So things are steaming up in the NBA playoffs. And a man that has curly hair, which is really rare, from upstate Illinois, Chicago area, Chicagoland, Jordan Vargas. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you for having me.
So, Jordan, you are also not just a podcaster, but you're also on live radio, which I heard you last night with your brother. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, my brother Mark, he hosts a show called Mark My Words under AM560, which is under Salem Media.
Which are huge, by the way. No one knows about them. They control a lot of markets, and if you don't have it, something's wrong with you.
But yeah, I just had the opportunity to co-host with them and just chime in here and there and just listen to what he says live and be able to be in studio with them.
Now, do you maneuver the buttons a bit? Like, do you hit like the commercial break button, or are you just, you know, there and just be a support?
No, they have a producer. So there's two studios. So there's one studio that's clear. It's like a bubble. And then right behind us, there is the producer's room. So he has all the control panels. And he has a clear window so he can communicate with Mark. And there's a button that he can hear, that he can talk to Mark, and only Mark can hear. So he'll talk to him through there, say, you know. In the computer, there's a computer in front of us, and it shows the time. So if there's 4 minutes left in the segment, the producer will take control of the computer, put 4 minutes on the segment so the people in studio could tell how much time is left. And then when the music starts to turn on, the producer will let Mark know that the segment time is up.
Pretty impressive. I used to work in radio back in college. I have not been in radio station for almost 12, you know, 13 plus years. So it kind of, you know, kind of want to see how the technology it is and see how it's run. And wow, pretty impressive. Anyways, how was your Mother's Day before we talk about Jokic?
Mother's Day was great. We had the entire family over for Mother's Day, and we were happy to celebrate my mother and all the mothers out there. So it was good. That's what about awesome. Yourself?
No, great. I went out to church, of course, with my mom and dad, and we went out to eat afterwards to this cool Italian restaurant. Ate some good pasta. I haven't had good pasta in a while. And then we hanged out with our grandparents afterwards. It was a full day. It felt like it was like a work day for me, to be honest. So yeah. I did not take my Sunday afternoon nap, Jordan. So hopefully that won't be an issue today. We'll see what happens.
Hopefully it won't. Yeah.
Okay. So this morning, the NBA, actually Woj broke it on ESPN. Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic has been voted as the NBA's MVP for the second straight year. 27 years old, Jordan, two MVPs. He averaged 27.1 points, 13.8 rebounds, 7.9 assists over 74 games with the Nuggets. Sadly enough, they lost against the Warriors in five games, so it wasn't enough. Obviously, the contenders was Joel Embiid. I was pulling for Embiid. I'm not sure about you, but Jokic took the award. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts of this are, I mean, I liked it. You know, he won second year in a row. You know, he did a really fantastic job, and glad to see, you know, he was able to pull it back through, and Giannis and Joel were running contenders. So we're glad to be able to get that fixed. I mean, get that, you know, get that done for Jokic.
Jokic, of course, two awards before 30, that's pretty impressive. I don't think I've seen that. I don't know if Michael Jordan won two MVPs before he was 30, maybe. But he needs that championship, doesn't he? I mean, this Nuggets squad is not the best built, I would say. It's not a Warriors type of squad. But do you think Jokic can win a championship of what he has, or do you think they need to – probably build a little bit more, maybe add, you know, Harrison Barnes or maybe another star? What are your thoughts over the Nuggets team?
They need to make some trades throughout the summer. The Nuggets have a really good foundation, good GM, good coach, and fantastic players. I think we kind of saw them come out a little bit of their shell. Each year we see them come out of their shell a little bit more. But I think that they just need that missing piece, and that missing piece I think is within the organization. Within their G League and the NBA team, that they just need to kind of find a filter. And just, again, it's just finding that chess piece, the diamond in the rough that they need to support, you know, Murray and Jokic in the run, and see who they draft too. And be curious to see who they draft and who they pick up for summer league. So it's just really just finding that missing piece that they'll need to get that boost.
Of course, none of the Ball brothers, you will never let them go to Denver, right?
No.
Okay. Well, currently the roster is Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, DeMarcus Cousins, who used to play for the Warriors, mm-hmm. Sean Hyland, Michael Porter Jr., Facundo Campaza, Will Barton, Jeff Green. Looking at this roster, yeah, they need to pump it up a little bit. I'm not saying Lonzo Ball, but that would help a little bit, something like him. But yeah, congratulations to Jokic. I believe there'll probably be a press conference towards the end of the week. Great player. Jokic for me, Jordan, you know, like he's a pretty all around player. He knows how to pass. He dribbles. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think he's a point guard at times. You know, but you know, hey, is he clutch? It's hard to be a clutch, you know, player at that size or that magnitude. Better than Shaq, someone asked me. I don't know. Maybe.
It seems like is the NBA is turning into a big man's league a little bit.
It has.
All the MVP contenders are.
Which we haven't seen since the 80s.
6'7", 6'8", and above. Because before it was hardball. If you were a 1 or a 2 or maybe a 3, you were in the MVP conversation. But no one's talking about being MVP if you're a 4 or a 5. But now it seems like those 1 through 5, it's all open game. Especially for this year, it was Joel, Jokic, and Giannis. So it's interesting to see kind of the NBA or the gratitude for it kind of shift to the bigger players.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything like this since Shaq. I think Shaq's been the true best big player. I think before that came Olajuwon with the Houston Rockets. Dr. J, you know, like the big guys were the main people that you would select in the NBA draft back in the day. Now it's kind of coming back in that trend. You know, things happen in trends. You know, a couple years ago was that 3-point point guard shooter like Steph Curry, you know, Ball brother as well. So we'll see where things go with these trends. I like it. I like Embiid. You think Embiid should have won it, or you think he needs another good season to prove it?
I think Embiid needs another good season, but he was definitely in the contender. No doubt he was in the conversation. He had a phenomenal season. But it just seemed like Jokic has, in my opinion, I think Jokic is more of a well-rounded player in all aspects. So I would kind of lean more towards him, you know, versus Embiid. He kind of plays a solid 4. He plays a solid 5. Can play 3. But Jokic seems like he could pass the ball like a 1. He could shoot like a 2. He can stay down low like a 3. He can get to the – he can play 1 through 4 or 1 through 5, no problem. So I was leaning more towards the Joker.
The Joker. Wish there's 2 Jokers in this world, him and Djokovic, the tennis player, if you watch tennis. Mm-hmm. Okay. Talking about big players, Embiid, he was injured for the first 2 games against the Miami Heat, Jordan. Comes back game 3, scores 18 points. game four, which was last night, Kevin Harden. Yes, Kevin Harden still plays for the 76ers. Beat the Heat. Series is tied 2-2. Actually, Jimmy Butler scored about 40 points. But Sixers bounced back. James Harden, 31 points, 9 assists. Jordan, what are your thoughts about, like, your thoughts over the series so far?
The Sixers needed this one. They needed this one big time because proven time, if you let Miami get in the traction, they can get down to Sacramento very fast. And Miami has an insane backcourt. So having those wins and kind of killing the momentum and keeping it within reach, I think, for the Sixers against any team, especially Miami, is very important. So I'm glad to see that they were able to have that nice takeaway. And the Sixers seemed like they had a really good game. They played well together.
Yeah, two games in a row for the Sixers. The Heat were up 2-0. A lot of sports pundits were thinking, well, Miami Heat might take this sooner than later. But, you know, with the bounce back of Joel Embiid and Harden, which I'm not sure what he thought about Harden. I mean, sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. But if the Sixers could have more of him, the Sixers teams could win the series.
Oh yeah, if James is able to turn it on, he's one of those players where it really doesn't take a lot for him to turn it on, but unfortunately, it doesn't really take a lot for him to turn it off. So he's one of those players that just can turn it on at any second, and then any given moment, he'll just kill a switch and his game will change. So needing that consistency, needing that push forward is going to be very key, and Harden's in a playoff position. I mean, he was a playoff position in Houston, but this is with the new team, new setup. So this is going to be kind of interesting to see, you know, what he's going to do with this. Without a doubt, he's a leader on the Sixers team that everybody looks up to, along with Embiid. But I think Harden more resembles that kind of outside character that came in to help the situation down in Philly. So it'll be very interesting to see how Harden will take it. But I think he'll be able. He needs to turn it on. It's not really. I think he needs, you know, to turn it on.
Yeah, which Harden has a better setup here than he was with Brooklyn, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think here he has more opportunity to kind of play like himself. In Brooklyn, I'm not going to say he had overhead, but there just was too many factors kind of leaning into each and every game. Where in Philadelphia, the noise is reduced. And it's very much a simplified game. It was simplified in Brooklyn, but there just was external factors that you can't ignore. And I don't think anybody could ignore him. Even James, he couldn't ignore. So down in Philadelphia, it's quieter. He has somewhat of his own platform. And I'm kind of seeing a little bit of Houston James. I could see Houston James emerging because when James went to Houston, we really didn't have that much of a lineup. So in Philadelphia, he has a phenomenal lineup with him. But kind of that solo player might emerge out of him, and he might be able to go back in those takeover moments.
Jordan Vargas, if you had to predict who will win the series, which right now is tied at 2, who would it be? Mm-hmm. Who do you think is going to pull it out?
I think Miami's going to pull it out. Just off the pure fact that the Sixers have been clicking, and they've been able to kill the momentum. But Miami, again, has the endurance. They have the talent enough to pull it out.
And Miami almost pulled it out last night. So we'll see if they – which game five is going to – which will be played in Miami, which they're going back to Miami. So that – I think Miami will definitely win game five and be taking it 3-2. The other series, which I thought was also over, similar to the Heat and the Sixers, the Suns and Mavs tied at 2. Luka Doncic – had a fantastic two games in Dallas. And game four, he finished with 26 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists, and 4 steals in 37 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, this Dallas team, of course, is not just Luka. They got forward Finney Smith, who shot 8 for 12 from three-point range and scored 24 points. The Suns, not a good night for them. The Mavericks beat the Suns on Chris Paul's birthday. Can you believe that?
Yeah, no, that's not good. That probably bad taste in his mouth.
What are your thoughts over the series, Jordan, and the bounce back that the Mavs have had so far?
I think the Mavs are doing a fantastic job of keeping the Suns down. Again, as I said, similar situation in Miami. If you let the Suns pull away too quickly and you give them too much momentum, they have too much star power, too much talent, too much skill to just ease off the gas. They're just going to go straight forward. So Dallas having kind of this back and forth a little bit and pulling their momentum back and trying to turn it back into their favor is going to not only be good matchup for the series, but it's going to be better. It's going to be in favor for Dallas, but only if they can keep the Suns under wraps. But if they can't and they show weaknesses, the Suns do it. Unfortunately, to every other NBA team, the Suns do a fantastic job with identifying weaknesses and how they need to go about it. When you have a veteran leader like Chris Paul, who knows how to control the offense, manipulate the basketball, and read defensive, read the defense, someone like that's going to identify a weakness. And Dallas needs to just keep pushing. They need to keep the momentum going to where if they do have that crack in the wall, Chris Paul will be able to identify that along with the coaching staff and along with the rest of his players, such as Devin Booker and Crowder, that they'll be able to push it forward and Suns could pull it away.
Booker last night had 35 points, which is great. Chris Paul, only 5 points. Not good. They need to see more pointage there. Cameron Johnson, 11 points. Jake Crowder, 15. DeAndre Ayton with 14 points. So the Suns is kind of moving towards, obviously, but Chris Paul needs to put more work, even on his birthday. You guys still work on your birthday, right?
Yeah, I think there was an issue with Chris Paul and a fan. A fan got arrested for harassing Chris Paul's family. I don't think the fan might have known that was Chris Paul's family, but he was very much surprised when he got escorted out. Chris Paul found him and said, I'll see you after the game. And the fan looked like he was 16, 17 years old. So I think it was kind of like, oh, crap moment. I probably shouldn't have harassed Chris Paul's family. But it's just interesting. There was a lot of things interesting about the game, but that was one of the takeaways, I think, for people outside of the NBA, though, is like to see little ruffles like that, little drama. And it was something, probably a good soundbite for TMZ the next day.
Yeah, exactly. Which it reminded me of the LeBron James incident he had at the Pacers Stadium, where a few fans were, I guess, rude towards him, and then he was complaining to the refs. I don't think Chris Paul did that, or no, as much.
No, Chris Paul just the security, I think, identified it pretty early on, and they were able to get it under control. But Chris Paul found out that I don't know the full situation, but you know, all I know is that Chris Paul found the kid, and while the kid was getting escorted,
Game. So, which, you know, you see it sometimes in the NBA because like the stands are so close to the players. You know, it's compared to the NFL, like it's not as close, but it's like the stands are like touching the court pretty much. So of course, you know, you're gonna hear more boos, and man, it must be a tough place to be for a team that goes away on the road. I remember when Jordan faced those fans up in Utah. That were, I mean, they were tough fans back then.
Hostile
environment. Yeah. So, and then of course, Suns and Mavericks. I mean, Dallas in itself. I mean, hey, you're dealing with Mark Cuban, who's also kind of loud as well.
Yeah, he is. He's gone fine before for his mouth, which I love. But
which you have a Mark Cuban story, don't you?
I do. My brother, he's good friends with Mark Cuban, brought him to his alma mater for a speaking series called Conversation with Mark Vargas, and his first guest was Mark Cuban. So Mark Cuban came out to Chicago, and I got to meet him, talk to him for a little bit. Not too long, but in fact, he called me LaMelo Ball because my hair was long and curly. I had a little bit of a mohawk, curly mohawk, and he goes, you look like LaMelo. So during the interview, he says, my brother goes, I'm glad you're able to meet my family. And Mark Cuban looks over and he goes like this because the lights were hitting them. The spotlights were hitting them. So to cover the lights and look in the crowd, he went like this and he goes, where's LaMelo? And then he found me and he pointed at me. He goes, there he is. So that was my Mark Cuban moment.
Which happened recently because LaMelo Ball is new in the spotlight. So,
yeah.
That's awesome. Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, trying to win his he's won, I believe, two chips already. So it's not a bad record, but he has to go past the Suns, which are the hottest team in the West, and things like that. So game four, game five is tomorrow. So we'll see who takes game five. Whoever takes game five, Jordan typically wins the series. Did you know the stat is like that? Like, if you win game five, you typically win the series. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Well, that's interesting. So even for Philly, that's going to be the testimony to see who's going to win.
That's why they call it.
I think.
Go ahead.
I think that's why Miami's going to win. They didn't like the fact that Philly has brought those two games back. So by human nature, they're going to be hungrier than they are because Philly already has a taste of a win. They're already comfortable. They won the last game. They're running out to the court knowing that they have two wins under their belt. So Miami is going to be somewhat of the lion in the jungle. And they're just going to go out, which is why I believe that Miami's momentum is going to be shifted to Miami's side. They're going to be hungrier. They're going to be faster. They're going to be stronger. They're going to outperform.
You're not saying because I'm here.
No. I would say just, yeah.
Which is why they call it a pivotal game five. That's tomorrow, Tuesday night. That should be exciting. Those are games you want to watch, want to see, so you can share with your grandkids. Right, Jordan?
Yeah.
All right. Yesterday, a big hire. The Sacramento Kings hire Warriors assistant Mike Brown to a four-year deal. Brown's comes with the Kings with a clear organizational mandate and the longest playoff drought in the NBA, and returned the Kings to the postseason for the first time in 16 years. I forgot about that. That might have been the time where Mike Bibby played and Jason Williams. I'm not 100% sure, but it sure looks like it. Mike Brown, who used to coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron, also the Lakers for like one season. Jordan, is this a great hire for the Kings?
I think this is. Mike Brown has had veteran experience, and he's able to go out and help the Kings get to the point where they need to be.
Yeah, and currently the Kings roster is Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, Damian Mitchell, DeVincenzo, Harrison Barnes, which is probably the biggest name you see in this roster, and also Justin Holiday.
Oldest. Along with him and Holiday, Barnes and Holiday, I think we're in similar draft classes, and I think Barnes drafted in 07, 08. So he's been in the NBA for a while. In fact, he was with Golden State when they were playing against Cleveland.
Yeah, and I remember when they cut him, and then the Mavericks picked him up, Harrison Barnes. Yeah. So interesting player because he was a good sixth man for the Warriors in those championship teams. So Mike Brown has some players to work with. He might have to do some trades, but the Kings finished 12th last season, so not terrible, not the worst, but definitely want to get into that play-in spot first, and then get to the playoffs maybe.
I think this is a perfect draft moment. They're going to get a higher pick in the draft, and if you have a veteran coach like that, who knows how to develop players, who has a clear record of developing players. He worked with Curry when Curry first got drafted to Golden State. He was able to work with Curry up close and help developing his game. In fact, Curry gave some parts of his game and his development to Mike Brown. So kind of having an incoming draft, and this draft class is going to be heat. There's going to be some, in my opinion, there's going to be some future Hall of Famers in the draft
class. That sounds pretty big. Is it like the 1996 draft class or the 03 draft class?
I think the 1996 and 03 draft class would have been last year, but going off of this March Madness and the run that everybody's been on, it's going to be very interesting. You know, we got Chet Holmgren coming in, got Brand Shuro from Duke coming in, AJ Griffin from Duke coming in, Max Christie from Michigan State coming in, who's from Illinois. So this is going to be a very, very interesting draft class. And someone like Mike Brown introducing them to the NBA, being under his development, is going to be very soon.
Good talent. I trust Jordy because he follows this day in, day out. This is an old story, but I'd love to hear Jordan's opinion. The Charlotte Hornets fired James Borrego. The Hornets, as known, LaMelo Ball plays there. Was this a good move by Charlotte, Jordan, and your thoughts over this?
It was a fantastic move. Not off the pure fact that James Borrego wasn't a good coach. I think his coaching style was good. I think it was his player personnel that was poorly. Again, if you have a player like LaMelo Ball, we cannot act like he does not need the keys to the franchise. He is a franchise player. There is no doubt about it. He was Rookie of the Year. My personal opinion, during his career, he's going to win MVP. He went as All-Star. He made an All-Star appearance his sophomore year in the NBA. Borrego didn't put, in my opinion, enough trust into LaMelo and into the style that LaMelo likes to play through. Along with Miles Bridges, P.J. Washington. I think they should have kept James Bouknight. I know this is kind of off Borrego's reach, but I think they could have kept James Bouknight with the Hornets instead of bringing him back and forth between the development team, the G League team, the Greensboro Swarm, and Charlotte. I think they should have kept him in Charlotte, helped him develop a little bit better under LaMelo. But I think this was a good idea to release James Borrego. And another team, again, he's not a bad coach. He has playing experience overseas. Clearly, Charlotte won games with him. They had like contenders. I mean, they were going fifth and sixth. They were able to make the play-in. So James is not a bad coach. I just think his system and how he wants things done didn't fit the Hornets' plan.
Yeah, wasn't the right fit, even though the Hornets made it into the play-in, but not enough to keep him there. Candidates, looking at Mike D'Antoni. They're also looking at Golden State, Kenny Atkinson, also Mavericks, Sean Sweeney, Brooklyn's Vanterpool, and Milwaukee's David Hamm, and also Charles Lee. Your thoughts on any of these coaching rumors that you like for the Hornets?
I like Mike. I think Mike's going to be a really, really good fit for Charlotte. Again, experience, knowledge, is what we need, is what Charlotte needs, especially with an older GM who's been around. Mike, all around the league at different times. It's going to be a fantastic fit for Charlotte.
There you have it. Charlotte's future is looking bright. Jordan and I were talking about the general manager, Kupchak. Great personnel. Mm-hmm. He came from the Lakers, knows how to build a championship team, and hopefully that takes place in Charlotte, who's owned by a GOAT, a championship, Michael Jordan. So hopefully see Charlotte back in the playoffs and then go in deep for the playoff contention. Jordan, anything else before we head into the mighty predictions?
Nothing else.
Let's look at the first game tonight. Celtics at the Bucks, 2-1. What are your thoughts over this matchup? Of course, the Bucks have been showing superiority, being up 2-1 so far. Giannis is, he's flexing his muscles. This Boston team with Jason Tatum, it's kind of debatable. But what are your thoughts? Who will take Game 4 tonight? Will it be Boston tying up, or Milwaukee going to be an inch closer going to the Eastern Championship game?
I can see Boston tying it up again this series, again with back within reach, at least win one more game. But I see Milwaukee pulling this one away. But again, I don't know. Boston can make a huge, huge save. Back. But I see them winning the next game. But I'm very skeptical to say that they would outperform Milwaukee the next three games they have coming up.
There you go. I got Boston tying it up, but if Milwaukee wins tonight, it's over. Memphis and Warriors, amazing game one. Game two, game three, Warriors were really tough. 2-1 Warriors. It's in San Francisco. John Morant might not be playing tonight. Could be a factor. Even if he did, even if he was playing, he would not be 100%. Who's going to take tonight's game? Jordan Vargas, game four.
Golden State.
They're going for the kill.
Yeah. They're not wasting any time. Again, Golden State's one of those teams with the experience they have, the coaching staff that they have, especially being under Steve Kerr, where they have enough experience playing against the best team in the world, which is when they were playing against Cleveland 3 years in a row, going back-to-back in the NBA Finals. They can identify a weakness. John Morant missing creates a big gap for Memphis. And Golden State's going to know what it's going to take to put kind of a final stamp within that gap and push them out.
Which there is an argument that the Grizzlies play better without John Morant. But John Morant's become injury prone, which that worries me a bit. But he won the most improved player this past season, so I'm really glad for his performance. I got the Warriors. I'm with you. I think the Warriors are going for the kill. And once again, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Well, good organization. Curry's playing hot right now. He's a hot hand. And those new players, they added him. Around him has been beneficial. And of course, Klay Thompson looking great. Old, the vintage Klay Thompson, you think?
Yeah, I think the vintage Klay Thompson. Actually, I don't know if I would call him vintage. I don't think we can ever get that Klay back. But the Klay that is performing right now, is not so much a new Klay, but a different Klay.
Jordan Poole, man, what a player! What a player! I'm impressed.
I love Jordan Poole. I loved him when he was at Michigan. He was Michigan's highest recruit coming in the class of 2019. I loved him as a player. I loved him in Golden State. And in fact, I don't know if you know this, but Jordan Poole is married to Steph and Seth Curry's sister. I don't know her name, but
that's not coincidence.
Yeah,
that's not coincidence or conspiracy.
Huh?
That's no coincidence or conspiracy.
No, it's fact. Yeah.
And of course, you got Gary Payton the second. No relations to the original Gary Payton, I believe. I don't think that's his son, right? But
I think it is.
Oh, it is. You're right. My bad. Yeah, I just pulled up his Wikipedia. Wow. Yeah. You know, hey, these young players, these Warriors, I'm not sure who's their GM now, but definitely they're going to win a couple more championships, you think?
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. All right. That is it. Tonight, NBA playoffs. This is the part where the NBA playoffs gets juicier. The first round, it's okay, but the second round is where things get juicier. Poll question of the day, Jordan. What is the most important element for sleeping? Options are the pillow, mattress, sheets, or the bed cover.
Probably the pillow.
I agree. Probably if I had to choose one of the four, the pillow it is. There's just no way. Well, I could sleep with no pillow. I have done that. And then I could get the bed cover over me. And anyways, pillow. Mattress winning 62.5%, pillow 37.5%, sheets and bed cover is 0%. So mattress is very important, you know, for the back.
Yeah.
But both the young guys won't have to worry about back pain or back spasms.
No.
Okay. You can vote for vote on that on the Sportscast One Twitter page. Jordan, what is the best way to reach you online? Because I heard there's a big announcement coming for you. I don't know if it's sports related, but if they want to follow your life and everything else, what is the best way to reach you online?
Probably my Twitter, JordanVargas02, or my Instagram, Jordan_Vargas.
Whatever happened to the JV23 one?
Oh, the real JDV23.
Yeah.
I changed my Twitter name. I was able to change it, so I was glad.
I loved it because, you know, it was just Michael Jordan related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
But you want to go your own way.
Yeah.
Well, you can reach us at this original Twitter account, the Sportscast One, or thesportscast.net. Tomorrow, we're having Hoops Talk is coming tomorrow on Tuesday because yesterday was Mother's Day. So they moved the show for tomorrow at noon Eastern. And then tomorrow night, Sports Talk, those guys are getting crazier. They're going to talk about the USFL, NFL, Commanders. There was some NFL. Oh, yeah, there was an announcement of a Monday Night Football game, second week. It was I looked at the games. It wasn't really impressive, but it is a big deal, doubleheader. And then on Thursday, Jersey Boys Sports Talk. And then on Wednesday, I'm doing the World Cup preview, Jordan. I'm previewing every team for the World Cup till December, and there's 32 teams, so it'll be 32 weeks of a nonstop special.
Wow.
I don't think you're gonna watch the World Cup, right? No. Probably not.
No.
How about your brother? No. Mark,
I may be a little bit here and there, but a little bit here and there, but I don't really understand soccer all that much.
Hey, maybe it's okay
if I understood it.
Yeah, you're busy like with basketball, which is like a whole lot to handle.
Yeah.
Literally. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. This is another good one. Jordan, any closing words before we head off on this beautiful Monday in Florida? You're in Chicago. It's probably still snowy. Any closing words?
Thank you for having me. I was really glad to be able to come here and talk about coming up the NBA playoffs.
Yeah. NBA playoffs, exciting. This is the most exciting part of the year. And this was your update.